Everyone, welcome back to Real Time Crime. I'm Javai, and unfortunately, I'm all alone today, but I know Hannah is with me in spirit, and we will be back together next episode with a brand new category for the month of November. Stay tuned. So, to continue the Halloween spirit for the rest of the month of October, today I will be talking about two short stories that took place on Halloween Day. The first murder took place in 1998 on Halloween Day. The first story is about a young man named Carl Jackson. He lived in the Bronx, New York, and he had just turned 21 a couple weeks earlier. He was the son of a nurse and a postal worker, and the article that I read said that he was a data entry clerk at Morgan Stanley, and he didn't really like going out on Halloween, not because he didn't like it or because he was, an introverted person, but because he actually thought it was too dangerous. So on the night of Halloween, he actually went with his girlfriend to pick up her 9-year-old son from a children's party. While they were picking him up, a group of teenagers actually egged Carl's car and caused, an argument between Carl and the young teenagers. After the argument, Carl just sort of shook it off, saying, they're just teenagers on Halloween, egging some cars, whatever. So he gets back into his car, but little did he know that when he got back into his car, one of the teenagers pulled out a gun and shot him, killing him with one single gunshot straight to his head. Unfortunately, Mr. Carl Jackson died immediately. While I was researching for this case, it was actually kind of interesting that murders like these, because of egging, actually wasn't that uncommon, and it's pretty bizarre that it happened more than once. The New York Times reported that in 1994, a man that was leaving a bar in Brooklyn was hit with eggs tossed by several boys. One of those boys stabbed and killed this man. He was 12 years old. In 1996, a 10-year-old boy in Brooklyn was shot in the neck by a stray bullet after an egg fight on Halloween. In 2005, a man named Joseph Padro, who was the brother of a police detective, was also shot and killed in the Bronx after he chased a group of teenagers who had egged his minivan. So, as silly as it may sound, it's actually more common than what I used to think. Fortunately, the teenager that killed Carl Jackson was arrested. His name is Curtis Sterling, and he was 17 years old at the time. He was given a 20-year sentence, and I couldn't find any information of him being released early because as of 2017, Mr. Jackson's mother was still sending him cards to the prison. So his 20-year sentence would have been up in 2018. So I am assuming he is out now. However, as of 2017, he was still in jail. According to a New York Times article, every single October on Halloween Day, Mr. Jackson's mother sent Curtis Sterling a card that said, "I'm glad you're still there." This tragic death left the Jackson family grieving for years, but I'm sure his mother was glad that Mr. Curtis Sterling was serving justice for the whole 20 years in prison. The second story for today's episode is about a man named Ronald Clark O'Brien, or also known as the Candyman. Ronald was married to his wife, Dainene, and they had two children, Timothy and Elizabeth, and they lived in Deer Park, Texas. Ronald was an optician at Texas State Optical, and he was also a deacon at Second Baptist Church, where he sang in the choir and was in charge of the local bus program. On the night of Halloween in 1974, Ronald took his two children trick-or-treating in Pasadena, Texas. They were also accompanied by their neighbor and his own two children. So, like any other typical parent, they went around the neighborhood trick-or-treating, and, you know, some houses answered and gave them candy and some didn't. So by the end of the night, the children had tons of candy and they were tired, ready to go home and eat all their candy. So that's exactly what they did. They went back home and they started going through their candy, eager to eat whatever they could. So when Ronald offered his children candy, his 8-year-old son chose a pixie stick. And at first he was having some trouble loosening the powder from the pixie stick. So of course, as a good father, Ronald offered to help him. So he unloosened the powder and gave the pixie stick back to his son. A couple of minutes later, he was eating his candy when he started complaining that his pixie stick was actually kind of bitter. Ronald shook it off and said, "You know what, just drink some Kool-Aid and it'll be fine. Keep eating your candy." Shortly after, literally like a couple minutes later, this 8-year-old boy starts vomiting because he got so sick. Timothy was complaining that his stomach was hurting. He was in the bathroom throwing up and he even started convulsing. Within an hour, they were on the way to the hospital because Timothy's health was declining so bad, literally within an hour. So they get to the hospital and Timothy actually passed away from being poisoned. Since they had eaten so much candy, it was really hard to tell where this poison was coming from. And, you know, like any other worried parents, the whole community was so scared for their own children because they were unsure if their children's candy was poisoned. So everyone confiscated the candy, turned it into the police for evidence, and they really didn't find any more poison except in this one pixie stick that Ronald had given to Timothy. So the police didn't really have any suspects until they did the autopsy on Timothy and they realized that the pixie stick that he had eaten was actually laced with an immense amount of cyanide. After testing the pixie stick that Timothy had consumed, they actually found that it contained enough cyanide to kill 2 adults. So like I mentioned before, Ronald really wasn't a suspect until the police really started to question him and where he had gotten these pixie sticks from. It was actually kind of ironic because that night that they went trick-or-treating with his neighbor, they were only trick-or-treating on 2 blocks around their neighborhood since it had started raining. So the police actually went around those 2 blocks, house by house, asking what kind of candy they had given out. A lot of them could remember, you know, Ronald and his family and his neighbor with his kids because small neighborhoods tend to know each other very well. They all denied giving pixie sticks that night, and when the neighbor actually brought up the fact that Ronald stayed behind at one of the houses, they became even more suspicious. Ronald was adamant and insisted that he could not remember where he exactly got the pixie sticks from. But he insisted that, you know, he had gotten them when he was trick-or-treating out that night. During the investigation, Ronald quickly became a suspect after the police learned that he was over $100,000 in debt. So keep in mind, this was back in 1974, and the equivalent up to 2020 was over $500,000. So this is an insane amount of debt for a man that couldn't even keep a job. In the sources that I read while doing my research, I found that in the past 10 years, he had actually worked 21 jobs. And at the time of his arrest, he was actually under investigation for theft at his optician job at Texas State Optical. He was pretty close to being fired at this point. His cart was about to be repossessed. He had so many bank loans and his family home had even been foreclosed. Ironically, this is the part where police were like, "Whoa, hold up, something fishy is really going on." in January of 1974, so that the beginning of that same year, about 10 months before, Ronald took out a life insurance for both of his children for $10,000. So the equivalence of that now would have been about a little over $50,000. He took these out in January, and about around September, he increased and took out an additional $20,000 on both policies, which would have been the equivalent to over $100,000. So if you're sitting, standing, driving, take a deep breath, because if you thought it wasn't going to get worse, it does get worse. So a couple of days before this whole thing happened, a couple of days before Halloween, Ronald didn't think that $30,000 was enough. So he went ahead and took out an additional $20,000 policy on both of the children. This was an equivalent to about $50,000 or $60,000 for each children, which today would amount to about $300,000 in life insurances for his two children. And if this is not a red flag for police, I don't know what is. So immediately after they found that he took out the additional life policies, literally the days before Halloween, they said, you know what, this is our man. Ronald even called the life insurance and asked about how he could get the money out of the life insurance. So, how do you just take out a life insurance on your children, keep increasing it, and then say, hey, actually, how can I get this money? In my opinion, it's pretty obvious. You get it when your children die. But, to each their own. So then Ronald was actually seen also going to a chemical supply store in Houston, where he was planning to buy cyanide. He was actually seen leaving the store without buying anything. But this was only because the smallest amount of cyanide that he could buy came in a 5-pound bag, and he really only needed the tiniest amount. According to an article by The Insider, he actually changed his story many times, and the police were never able to substantiate where or how he bought the poison. But nonetheless, he was arrested for the murder of Timothy on November 5th, 1974. He was indicted on one count of capital murder and four counts of attempted murder. These four counts of attempted murder actually came from four other pixie sticks that he had poisoned with cyanide as well. His plan was to poison both of his children. However, only Timothy actually ate the pixie stick while his daughter decided to eat other candy that she had gotten that night. So essentially, if other kids would have eaten the other four sticks that he also poisoned, he would have been indicted with four counts, actually 5 counts of capital murder. During the trial, his wife actually stated that Timothy did not willingly choose a pixie stick, but it was actually Ronald that forced him to eat the pixie stick. So remember when I said earlier how, he was excited to go home and eat all his candy and he quote unquote picked the pixie stick? Well, actually, Ronald forced him to eat it because he knew damn well that it was the one that was poisoned with the cyanide. His trial started on May 5th, 1975, and by June 3rd, the jury was ready to, convict him. It only took them 46 minutes to find him guilty of capital murder and guilty of 4 counts of attempted murder, while the jury took 71 minutes to sentence him to death by electrocution. His first execution date was set for August 8th, 1980, but his attorney actually petitioned to have it rescheduled, not once, but 4 separate times, and it was actually approved 4 separate times until the fifth time it was denied by a judge on March 28th, 1984. So he was able to stall his death by 4 years. On the night of March 31st, 1984, shortly after midnight, Ronald was executed by lethal injection. Throughout the whole trial and even up to the night of his execution, he stood his ground and said he was innocent. And his last statement was, "I forgive you all, and I do mean all, those who have been involved in my death. God bless you all, and may God's best blessings be always yours." Shortly after he was convicted, so about 4 years before this, his wife filed for divorce, and she later remarried, and her new husband adopted their daughter, Elizabeth. This evil murder didn't only shake up their small town in Texas, but it also shook up the whole country and all the parents around the world. So if you're listening to this and you're a parent, or you're an adult sibling, you're an older sibling, whoever you are, I beg you, please check your children's candy if you do go trick-or-treating this Halloween. I don't mean to spook anyone, but as always, I like, Hannah and I like to give a takeaway from our episode. So if it's one thing you're going to take from this episode, please, please, please check your candy. Make sure it's always sealed and don't eat anything that looks like it's open or has been tampered with. So as always, I hope you all have a fabulous Halloween. Enjoy yourself. Stay safe. Eat tons of candy. But for sure in a safe way. I really hope the weather is good to us this year, because for some reason, it seems like every Halloween for the past couple of years, it's either raining or, slushy or something. But I hope you all, once again, have a great Halloween, have a great night. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We're also on Facebook now. We're working on a Twitter and TikTok. So our handle is always the same, @RealTimeCrime. And we will be back in 2 weeks, which by then will already be November. And we will be able to introduce our November category to you all. And from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the support. It's, always been so much more than what we imagined. So we continue to thank you all for the support. Until next time.